This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, brand new week. We're here. It's Monday. Good morning. Yes, Friday is the 1st of February, which means for all those people who've been waiting for January to come to an end, because the bills are accumulating and you go, but how could I have not been paid for so long? Then that's going to be over soon.
Ooh-wee.
It's the 74th of August-cember.
Okay.
Longest month ever.
Yeah, so by Friday you'll be back in, like, hopefully, or out of the critical care that you were in. And
the emergency situation.
Yeah, and back into a normal ward. That's kind of what's happening. All right, well, we're here and it's all taking place. We've got loads to talk about this morning. We'll get into some of that a little later on. We've got Anthea popping by. Ben is not here with us, but Leanne and Sia and you and I are all here. So everybody's here to have some fun. Let's get straight into it. Any exciting stuff over the weekend?
Oh dear. Does that mean?
What did you do?
I just walked in and I was telling Leanne, I think I need a weekend from my weekend.
Oh, well, tell us what happened.
It was one of those back-to-back-to-back things happening over the weekend.
Brace yourselves, everybody. We've got quite a lot coming in from Sia.
No, it's not that wild or extreme, but it was just a lot of celebrations. I had a birthday party I attended. I had a friend's party I attended as well. So it's just all over the place. I spent some time with my mom. She's in town. And she gave me a...
Well, that sounds healthy and sober and good.
She gave me a soft intervention.
What does that mean?
So she came over to my place and we hadn't really expected her at the time. So I'm still at that age and stage of relationships with my parents where I still have to parent-proof my house.
Yeah, we've got to tidy up.
Okay, so what does that mean?
My mom still has this idea that I drink wine at mealtime.
She doesn't know that you drink whenever you're sad, whenever you're happy.
Whenever I'm on the beach, whenever I'm
on... Pretty much when you're home on your own, when you go to sleep at night. Don't you drink before you go to sleep at night?
Oh, when I wake up at 3 a.m., you know, it's little things like that. So she didn't expect the mini bar that was in my kitchen. Okay. And my flatmate as well indulges in the herb every now and then.
Oh, God. So was that left lying around?
She found that in an ashtray on the patio.
So did you have to explain it's your...
What is this is my mom has... She never directly confronts anything. She'll have a roundabout way of things. She sat me down and she says, you know... In a few words, basically saying, if I have anything to confess to her, I should. And if I'm having any problems, I should also share that. But, you know, I shouldn't be living in a certain type of way. I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. So that is a conversation that lasted a good...
So she basically criticized your whole life. she just tore into your whole life.
And on top of that, it was just a general messy... My laundry was all over the place. So I had to like call my sister and I'm like, bitch, you didn't tell me she was coming now. But it's fine. It's fine.
Not good.
Yeah. So a bit of a loaded weekend from my part.
Well, ask anything exciting?
No, but I was just thinking of that exact thing. You know, it's still at my age. If I hear a family member's coming to my house, I do a quick sweep.
Oh, do you?
Sweep?
Yeah, it's like, what?
Okay, well, empty wine bottles, number one, first priority, into the bin. No, if they don't fit into the bin because there are already wine bottles in there.
Yes.
The outside bin. if there are dishes that are hanging around, you just shove them in the dishwasher.
Oh.
You know, it's like...
No, I've...
Quick panic.
No, sometimes... Sometimes I've been surprised by family coming over, but the only time it's a problem is if I've had people over the night before and the place looks a goddamn mess.
Yeah, but that's like a good enough excuse.
Yeah, that has happened from time to time. Now, I had a kid's party on Saturday, not at my house. It was my nephew's house, fifth birthday.
Oh, right.
At my brother and sister-in-law's, and they had all these kids, and my God, kids mess. I mean, they're running through, they're running through the house. They've got this slide with foam on it that they were playing mm-hmm. on in the back garden, and in the front garden's the pool, and they were running from one to the other mm-hmm. with foam and water on all the floors. Oh. And I tried, I was really very together, and I know it's not about me, so I'm there giving presents to kids and talking to children, talking to the adults who have children. And I lasted an hour and a half, and I
had
to get out. Of, yeah, it was good, but I had to go.
How many kids were there?
Oh, 12, 15, who knows?
But it felt like 600.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm not bad with kids. I really am not. As much as I talk about, you know, children and how I like kids and I get along well with them and they like me. So I can be with them. But for a short period of time, this is where I think every parent deserves a gigantic medal.
Okay.
Because they don't get to do what I did on Saturday and just go home and have a nap. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the best thing. By the way, can we just talk about
the wine and juice nap.
Virtues of a nap? No, I didn't have to drink wine. Oh, okay. See, I never need any coaxing into having a nap. I could have a nap sober as a judge or as drunk as a harlot. I could have both, and I'd love them just as much. God, I love a nap. An afternoon nap is so magical, isn't it?
We had a message on our WhatsApp group about napping. And the problem is that you don't know if it's going to be 20 minutes.
Yes.
I sometimes do wake up that night at like 11 o'clock at night. It's horrible.
And you go, oh, my God, what time is it?
What day is it?
Yeah. You don't know where you are.
I love it. It's great. I can think of nothing better. So.
Do you get comatose when you have a nap?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best sleep you'll ever have. Anyway, I just loved it. So I went home after the kids' party and had a nap. And then I was pretty disciplined this weekend. I went to gym yesterday. I went on Saturday. Mm. I felt very...
I registered for elections because I've moved. So,
oh, right.
I had to do that.
Well, that's only half the work. And now you have to decide who you're going to vote for, and that's impossible. Right.
Well, now... I got a bit of a shock when I got to the school to register.
Why, were there actually people there?
No, there was no one. It was just me, and there was an ANC tent, a little canopy,
mm-hmm.
and a DA canopy, and all the blacks were under the ANC, and the whites were under the tent.
Delightful. Really?
I'm like, oh my gosh, as much as we try and change
well,
things.
Well, it is what it is, right?
It is what it is. So anyway, I went in. I had the slowest IEC guy filling out my form.
Mm.
From my ID number, he wrote down my birth date. My birth date is the 8th of June. Yeah. He wrote down the 1st of April.
Oh, shit. So we've got really – we've got the best people running this.
He had to pull out a new form and start all over again.
Oh, really?
He wrote down my address wrong twice. And I just thought, let me fill it in, please.
Yeah, well, I'll be done quicker.
Yeah. Then he scanned his own ID book instead of mine.
Oh my,
for a sticker. What?
So basically, we're going to have voter fraud on epic levels.
Well, I mean,
like there were billions of people there lining up. You were probably the only person who saw that morning.
I think so, because he didn't really know what he was doing, and I felt sorry for him.
So there's going to be a problem. Like, a lot of people who are registered are going to find out that there was something wrong when they registered.
Well,
this is not good.
When I exited, I passed the ANC canopy,
mm-hmm.
and they were speaking to two girls who had just walked past, young college girls. And they said, hey, have you registered to vote? And they said, no, why must we vote when they're not paying for our university education?
But they are.
And I thought, well, firstly, yeah, check your facts.
Yeah, honey, secondly, the whole fees must fall thing resulted in a promise from the president that there'd be free education for everybody, and that's probably why you're at varsity.
Secondly,
you certainly didn't afford it on your own. Nobody does. The state subsidizes everyone who goes to university. You know that. But then these two didn't.
Yeah. And if you're not happy, don't just not vote. Find a party that you believe in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Read the mandates.
Yeah.
But
no one's going to do that.
They weren't interested.
No.
Like, I still... With all of the conversations that we have on the show, with everything happening in the country, for me, it's still about making use of your vote as your voice and your power, as corny as it sounds. I really still don't know what I'm going to do.
Look,
who I'm going to vote for.
I admire people who are still passionate about democracy. I wish I could say I am. I'm really not. And I always used to be one of those people. Do you remember how I used to say to people, go out and vote and register and all this stuff. It's hugely important that you participate. And I know Pumi's still very much on this track. I don't know. These days, I reckon we've tried that. It hasn't really worked out so well. All we've had is, if you watch the headlines of last week, just for the sake of this argument, all we've had really is a bunch of very greedy politicians who found ways to get their hands on money that isn't theirs and not give it to the places and people and resources and facilities and infrastructure that it should be spent on. So I think, no, I'm sorry, democracy's failed. It turns into a popularity contest where a bunch of greedy populists end up fleecing the taxpayers. That's what it is. And poor people stay poor. That's the simplest story of the last, certainly the last 10 years under Jacob Zuma, is that we've had zero economic growth, poor people have got poorer, greedy and connected political people have got richer, and the system is, it's almost geared to keep that going. I mean, we've got Cyril Ramaphosa flying off to Davos last week to tell everybody, oh, this is a great place to invest. What? Invest in what? If you're a crook, there's nothing to invest in South Africa if you're an international investor. What are you going to invest in? I mean, who's sitting around waiting for someone to steal their money? And oh, that's a good investment. Let's stick with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I understand those girls walking past there going, well, they're not going to pay for our education, even though they're wrong on two fronts at very least, probably a whole lot more. Why should they? And they're busy saying to the ANC, why should we register, which is even more poignant.
Yeah.
You know, if they were saying it to the EFF or the DA or Museo Lekota or any of those, I'd say, well, you know, maybe they just need to be convinced. But if you're saying that to the ANC, what argument do they have against that? The ANC's problem at the moment is they have to explain to all of us why we've paid for them to live these amazing bribed lives. The ANC has to tell us why we're paying for the lifestyles of ministers and blue light brigades with houses all over the place and trips to Dubai and fancy bags and fancy clothes and groceries that are delivered to their house every week by someone in Basasa and a box of meat. And why we're all paying for this. That's what the ANC has to explain ahead of this election. Because there's no one in South Africa, unless you're completely devoid of any brains, there's no one who's going, oh yeah, that's why we vote. It's to keep the politicians in employ. Because we could frankly do without them. There are so many places in South Africa where people are already doing without them.
Yeah, they're just more trouble than they're worth.
So well done to you anyway for registering. I mean, I think I'm still registered. I didn't bother to check. Most years I'd be on top of it and making sure.
You can check online. It's pretty quick. But yeah.
Who cares?
SMS your ID.
Yeah, I'll pitch up at the voting station next year. And then I'll decide there who I'm going to vote for. If I vote at all, or I'll spoil my ballot.
Whoever's got the best cookies.
Yeah, actually, I'll let them bribe.
Do they give out cookies?
You know what? If politicians are up for bribes, so am I. I'm willing to give my vote to whoever's going to give me the most. How about that for a change?
I've never been offered cookies. It's fine.
Give it to the older ones who've been standing in the queue for long.
But I was
actually like they need some sustenance.
Well, I've got bad news, Leanne. We are the older ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was actually thinking about this weekend as I was checking my registration status that I still somewhere in me hope in the fact that I'll pitch up at my voting station next year and I'll be standing in line. And
this year?
When
May. It's going to be
in 2 months. Now, there we go. 3 months. I'm stuck in line and we'll all hold hands and we'll sing the national anthem and there'll be great things happening because, you know, I'm still registered to vote in Soweto where I used to live. And I still, kind of in a corny way, want to be in Soweto, in that historic place, and want to look at people in the eyes and, you know,
but are you're not even
World
registered.
And Union.
You're not even registered there.
No, I still am.
Are you?
Yes.
It is national and provincial, so you can vote anywhere in your province. You know that. Oh. All right, enough about that.
So
crap.
Let's see what happens.
Well, see, I like your doe-eyed.
Call it naive.
No, it's
I'm
beautiful.
Still with it.
No, it's beautiful. And you should be a little idealistic in your 20s. You know that they say if you're not a liberal in your 20s and you're not enthusiastic about democracy in your 20s, you don't have a heart.
Oh.
And if you're not a conservative and you're not cynical in your 40s and 50s, you don't have a brain. Mm. That's what they say.
Good measurement.
Is that balance in life?
Yeah.
But along those lines, there was somebody who came and registered just after me, and he was an 18-year-old, and he'd come with his dad. Oh, boy, was he proud.
Okay, good.
Yes, guys.
Good for him. All right. So I'm sorry if you're one of those people like Sia who was excited and enthusiastic about the elections and we've just ruined it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, but I don't know why.
You know what? I'm sorry you've had to waste your time. If you pass on this podcast to anyone else, just delete that part of it.
And I think I've voted twice so far in my life, and both experiences were nothing like this vision that I still have, but I'm still holding on to it. Like, people were grumpy, an old man cut in line, and he was very rude about it. No one wanted to sing World and Union or My African Dream with me, so... Oh, well.
All right, here are a couple of emails and messages to us, and then we'll get into a couple of news stories. First of all, democracy only works when a population has an average IQ of 90. Our national average is 77. Yeah, well, that's controversial in so many ways, but I know what you're aiming at. Someone else says, seriously, who do we vote for? A small party? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's time we do that. We turn away from the big parties because the small parties have to fight for their seat.
Yeah.
Every seat they have counts. The big parties are like, how many seats do we have? And they don't really care about who's voted for
them. The same as taking your brand to a small advertising agency or a big one.
Mm-hmm. Take it to a small one. They care more.
Mm. Well, now Buthelezi isn't in the running anymore, so I don't know.
Yeah, but the IFP were never really a small party by definition. No. They were always a medium-sized one. But yeah, take it away from the three big parties. That's probably a good philosophy, and maybe that's one to adopt. So there's a short answer to a good question. This is an interesting one. Morning, beautiful people. This is from Lionel. Just had a quickie. Have you guys watched Sex Education on Netflix? Great show. There's a character called Eric, and every time he came on screen, it was like Sia's story for some reason. Such a good show. I don't know what that means, Lionel, but I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Also a bit scared of the word came in that.
Me too. If it's called Sex Education and then someone came, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's called Sex Education. It probably is what you're thinking it is. And last thing, Leanne, in my teenage years, I was an ETV late night watcher, so your voice put me in the mood all the time. I knew we were kindred spirits. I need to come to the studio and hang Lionel. Lionel, I forbid you from coming to the studio.
I don't know. That's...
All right. By the way, someone else says, Leanne, you could have changed your address online. You could have done this with a glass of wine and your laptop.
Oh, but then I wouldn't have got the sticker.
Oh.
So I don't know how it works.
All right. Morning, team. Gareth, quick one for you. Will the Easy Equities investor winner be chosen this week and how? Yes, in fact, we are going to find out who that winner is. I think next Monday is the day that we reveal the big winner. But yes, congrats to everybody who took part in that competition. With Easy Equities and CliffCentral.com. We'll be sharing the results and find out who the best trader is in the next day or two. In the next week, because it's next Monday that we'll be revealing it. Jennifer says, morning. Hope your weekend was great. I spent Saturday at the Happy Island Water World in Mulder's Drift. I saw Ben sent me a thing about Happy Island Water World. People were queuing for everything, to get in, for tubes that ran out, for rides, for food. Then on the way home in the pouring rain, almost every robot wasn't working. Yesterday woke up, no power. This morning woke up, still no power. My God, Jennifer, just get the gun from your bedside table. Just blow your brains out right now. It just sounds awful being you.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you want me to say, Jennifer. I mean, I'm sympathetic, but you know, when you go to a place where there are a lot of people, you're in a queue.
Yeah.
Go during the week. Take a day off work. I used to do that with Gold Reef City back in the days where I still needed to go on rides.
Did you say needed to?
I still need to go on rides.
I've been just recently.
So
love
much
it.
Fun. But you got to go when there's no one else.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, I don't know, what's this place like, this Happy Island Water World? Because it sounds like a kind of place I could go to.
You're looking at pictures, and not just, you know, the promo pictures, but a couple of people I know have actually gone there. Mm-hmm. It honestly looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I think very underrated. But as well, there's a slew of properties that are now popping up in Joburg. There's even a new residential estate in Pretoria somewhere where it's...
They've got a beach.
Yes, oh, it's gorgeous. That. Looks absolutely gorgeous.
Please get someone knowledgeable to discuss and explain the value of a protest vote in South Africa. That is, handing in a blank or spoilt ballot paper. In Sweden, Finland, Belgium, Spain, France, and other countries, you can put your cross at none of the above. Thanks for my favorite podcast. That's from Sherry. Yeah, Sherry, it's a good point. That's excellent.
Okay, let's make a note.
Gareth van Onselen says on Twitter, and this is not directed at us, but I thought it was interesting. Soweto has for a decade now effectively run a tax revolt operation. Billions in debt to Eskom and other services have been written off, billions more owed. Officials were violently expelled when prepaid meters were installed. Zero consequences. Tax revolt? We've been having it. So how's that?
Sure. That's an interesting, revolting.
You know, because a lot of people talking about this tax revolt idea that Helen Ziller says she's going to help lead. And it's controversial, but it's got lots of attention. And there we go. Gareth van Onselen, who used to be a DA advisor, spin doctor. He's the guy who is retweeting that idea and saying, well, Soweto's already run this.
You know, one has to pay a particular and special eye at the DA right now with Gwen's leaving as well.
Gwen has left.
She that was a drops mic moment.
Yeah, you remember Gwen used to come on this show before she became a politician, and we decided not to trust her anymore. But she's now leaving politics again, so we can talk to her. And I think we must get her in here one of these days and find out why she left the party. She's written several articles. She's made known her opinion on things. But I'd like to get her in and actually talk to her.
I feel like she is not at a point of mincing her words right now.
All right. Let's get on with it. We've got the five things you need to know. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah, well, we need to.
You need to. Are you sure? All right, let's get into it. The first thing is, this Michael Jackson. Have you heard this documentary that's out now? This is, they're two very, very big deals in television documentaries at the moment. The one is the Ted Bundy stuff, which we've got to talk about just now, and the other one is Michael Jackson Leaving Neverland documentary. It's a 4-hour documentary which details alleged sex abuse of two young men by the late singer, premiered at the Sundance Film Festival on Friday. People are talking about this. It's 4 hours long. Jackson's estate was quick to condemn it. Dan Reed's film shows two accusers, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who've been claiming that Michael Jackson sexually abused them, but a statement from his estate released just hours after the documentary premiered lashed out at them, calling them admitted liars. Do you want to hear the real stuff from the trailer? Mm. Here it is, just for you.
Wade Robson's career was fading.
Generation of performers.
James Safechuck's acting career hasn't been noticed since the 80s. Wait, it was even then. One lie could fix their troubles.
Find the defendant not guilty of conspiracy.
Just by the way, this voiceover artist is terrible.
He's awful.
It sounds like this very cheap production.
Yeah.
But let's give it a chance. All right?
Not guilty of conspiracy as charged in count one of the indictment.
At a time where a certain king was no longer with us. Neverland, directed by Lex Luthor himself.
This sounds like shit.
Very much so. And I don't...
Wow. Directed by... This guy hasn't got a deep enough voice to be pulling off voiceovers.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I know it's a stereotype.
Lex Luthor himself. I've got a teenage voice, but I'm trying to sound bigger.
Sounds like a little boy doing a YouTube thing.
I need to hear from people who watch it, actually. And also who has 4 hours... to spare on one documentary.
Well, now, the latest news in is that Paris Jackson, the daughter, has now checked herself into rehab after the documentary. apparently she is utterly distraught.
Yeah, those kids are super fragile, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're such a disaster. Can you imagine? They are typical.
Well, I mean, there's no surprise there, really.
Typical spoiled elite Hollywood kids who just can't handle anything.
Mm-mm. She's 20 years old now. Apparently, there are claims that she has suffered a complete meltdown after the harrowing film.
Imagine watching a film and having a meltdown. I mean, imagine that.
Well,
for a second. I mean, I'm trying to be sympathetic here, but honestly, if watching a film about your father is the most terrible thing that's ever happened to you, I'll have that life. Thank you. Jesus.
No, I was going to say, if it is about your father, maybe.
I have two grandfathers who had to go and fight Hitler. They're dead now, but my God, they didn't talk about this and check into rehab and have to have their meltdown paid attention to by everyone else. Oh, please. Paris, please.
And also, I mean, didn't she know that all of this was going on? Was it really such a big surprise in the film?
They didn't know. The kids wouldn't have known this.
Well, yeah, but there is I don't know what to believe right now. I need people who've watched it who actually comment on it, because I think this documentary is doing a bit of a PR spin too much, because they didn't release the trailer up until the first viewing on Friday. The company behind it had already said there's so many great revelations that we are hiring police and security at the theater, because the documentary is going to get people so uncomfortable. And they were not doing any type of press at all pre the first viewing of the documentary, which makes people want to watch it even more. So I think like we're all being duped, because what else is going to be revealed that we don't really know?
Here's what they saying. The Jackson estate says, for 20 years, Wade Robson denied in court and in numerous interviews, including after Jackson passed, that he was a victim. Conveniently left out of Leaving Neverland was the fact that when Robson was denied a role in Michael Jackson's themed Cirque du Soleil production, his allegations suddenly emerged. Yeah, you see, this does make me a bit suspicious. Mm-hmm. We're all extremely sympathetic to the legitimate victim of child abuse. This film, however, does those victims a disservice, because despite all the disingenuous denials made that this is not about money, it has always been about money. Millions of dollars, dating back to 2013 when both Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who share the same law firm, launched their unsuccessful claims against Jackson's estate. Now that Jackson no longer arrived to defend himself, Robson, Safechuck, and their lawyers continue their efforts to achieve notoriety and a payday by smearing him with the same allegations a jury found him innocent of when he was alive. So I don't know whether we should even pay attention to this show. Mm. Sounds like bullshit. So there's the first story you need to know about today. So this is interesting. A guy who faked his own hijacking is going to appear in court. Why'd you do this? He faked a hijacking. He'll appear in the Roodepoort Magistrates Court tomorrow, facing charges of perjury. A man allegedly sold his car to a Rustenburg car dealer and then told police that he'd been hijacked. The man reported three men, whom he had appointment with to sell his vehicle at a local shopping mall, hijacked him. Police say these kinds of claims occur quite often. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose people are desperate for money, so they come up with these bizarre, half-baked schemes.
They'll even do worse things. I'm scared to go into too much detail because it's someone that I know, but people will do unbelievable things for insurance.
Oh, yeah, to defraud insurance? Absolutely. Yeah. You can go to jail for that.
And I'm talking murder.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Dun-dun.
For the value of an insured car.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the people are desperate and stupid. Police in Hoedspruit outside Palaborwa on Friday arrested 10 minibus taxi drivers aged between 26 and 44 after a shootout erupted over routes in the area. Police say the feud over routes had been brewing since December and the factions seemed hell-bent on causing havoc. The shootout allegedly took place around 1 p.m. after security vehicles hired by one taxi association to escort their taxis were confronted and chased away by a group of people to be from a rival taxi association. The men inside the security vehicles responded by shooting at the taxis. Three men were seriously injured and three Toyota Quantum vehicles were damaged. And I mean, they've got a picture here of all the guns that were in these cars. It's a huge arsenal of weapons. Huge. So there's something terrifying. I always feel bad for the passengers because they don't really care. They're just using whichever they don't care which taxi they use.
They aren't involved.
No, and then they get shot at. Please, imagine that. You're just trying to get from A to B. You have to suddenly be embroiled in someone else's shit.
I'm trying to get through the day.
Terrible fire on Signal Hill. Have you heard about this? People were spamming me with pictures on WhatsApp yesterday. I've got lots of friends in Cape Town, and they were showing me pictures of, oh, my God, Signal Hill's on fire. I suppose some people are just upset because it means they can't take selfies of their jog up to the top of it. But it has spread to the slopes above Sea Point. The fire has been fanned by strong winds. It is now moving close to the avenues in Fresne. There are people who've been evacuated.
Sure.
So I don't want to be insensitive about this, but it's because it's so close to residential areas that I suppose people are particularly worried. And they're trying to figure out what to do. There are a whole bunch of fire engines, water tankers, 18 firefighting vehicles, and over 70 firefighters on the scene. Signal Hill Road remains closed, and when the need arises, additional roads will be closed in the area. So there's just an update on that that's going on. Of course, there are a whole lot of people on Instagram and on Facebook who are suddenly trying to put themselves at the center of this because their lives are boring and they want credit and they want people to pay attention to them. And there's actual reasons to be upset and to be worried. So they're taking pictures of themselves with a fire in the background going, oh my God, I hope everyone's okay. What they're really saying is, look at me, look at me, look at me, and a fire.
I was going to say, what's the operative term there? Pictures of themselves.
Yeah. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, yes. And a fire.
Yes.
And I'm so worried about all the dussies, and I'm worried about the fynbos, and I'm worried about the little antelope, and I'm worried about the
tortoises.
Baboons and the tortoises. No, you're not. You're thinking about your fucking self again. You Instagram whore. And last story you need to pay attention to is Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, who's criticized the media for publishing portions of Angelo Agrizi's written statement before the witness gave his testimony at the inquiry. Remember that came out last week before he had even given the testimony. So the South African National Editors Forum and the Zondo Commission of Inquiry have reached common ground after the Deputy Chief Justice slammed the leaking and publication of the testimony. Last week, he criticized the media for publishing portions of the former Basasa COO before the witness had given his testimony in the inquiry. Commission spokesperson Buiselo Stemela says both parties will look at the implications of the matter. The commission indicated it will release witness statements to the media when they have dealt with the matters covered. However, an exception may be made for a statement to be released to granted credible journalists to have permission to have access to the statement or documents prior to witnesses giving evidence. The inquiry resumes on today's special morning, where hopefully they will be able to get some very, very interesting testimony out. Apparently, reports have emerged that the family of Gavin Watson, horrible people these, and I really do think we need to be able to shame and to create discomfort in the lives of people who have tried to suborn the state, who've tried to use whatever power and influence they have or whatever business interests they have to get in the way of due process, the law, and people who occupy important offices doing what they're sworn to do. I think that this Watson family need to be treated badly by society. I think we all need to distance ourselves from them. If you know these people, and if you say you're friends with them, you need to evaluate what kind of people you're around. Yeah. I mean, these are crooks and thieves by every estimation. Anyway, Gavin Watson's family have been desperate to keep the whistleblower Agrizi quiet by offering hush funds of between 50
just making it worse.
50 and 80 million it's turned out. So according to reports, Basasa lawyer Brian Biebuck sent Agrizi an email containing a proposed agreement revealing a web to make the payments appear legitimate. Former Basasa COO has been testifying for almost 2 weeks at the commission. He revealed startling evidence of corrupt government contracts with Basasa. Be very, very worried and suspicious of anyone who tries to defend Basasa now.
But I was reading up about this hush money deal yesterday, and I thought, whoa, Agrizi either knows better or you know, there's no price to his integrity, because that was a pretty sweet deal.
Well, I think he's decided to go with this, whether it ends up getting him killed or whether it, you can't turn around now.
The Watson family was going to pay him $250,000 every single month, and they were going to call that a consultancy fee.
Yeah.
They were also going to help him establish a new company where they could also get some money through. So this new company would get 10 million rands every single year for 6 years. And then they were also just going to give him 5 million rands as like a, okay, yeah, sweet deal. We're in this together. So you think about that, that's 65 million over 6 years. And
it's
then
a lot of
also
money, yeah.
$250,000 every single month. And he still said, nope, I'm not going to sign up for that.
Well, good for him. Yeah. Good for him. There are some people with integrity, even if it took him a while to figure out that he needed to be a man of integrity.
Let's not forget that part.
Those are the five things you need to know. It is time for Anthea to come and give us everything in the money shot this morning. But just before she comes in, Bitcoin at $3,504. Ethereum at $109, if you're still paying attention to those things. We have Anthea. Because there's no Ben today. Ben is away. I think he's hobnobbing with Gary Player.
He's driving some garden route.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. I just heard cars and sports and my mind spasmed when he was speaking. So.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right. Anthea.
That's right. Okay, oh, here she is. Hey, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning. That is still my favorite version, I must
say. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so how was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. Busy weekend. Little half marathon yesterday.
Just a little half.
Wow. Wow.
Are you sore?
I'm a little bit achy, yes.
I don't know why you do that to yourself.
What's a half marathon? How long is that?
21.1 kilometers.
Alrighty.
Oh, Jesus.
What were you guys doing this weekend?
Just nothing.
Not running.
I feel like a completely useless
individual.
Putting a
dent in my sofa.
Alright. Let's get into some money. We were talking about the Reserve Bank last week. CPI inflation came in at the middle of the SARB target, 4.5%. So what does that mean?
Which is exactly what they wanted, right?
Okay.
4 months now, they've been telling us that they don't want it to be at the higher end of 6%. They want it to be in the middle. And Lesetša Kanyaho, who was in Davos last week, went on TV, Bloomberg TV, and said he was very happy about this because this gives him a bit of leeway, margin of safety to play with. And that really was because of those petrol price cuts that we had at the end of last year. So making a huge difference on inflation and for the consumer in general, I think. So that's nice to know. I mean, I think the Rand will still face headwinds. You know, when we saw the US-China trade talks happening or stalling, I should say, or going into aggressive mode or whatever you want to call it, we did see emerging market currencies come under a lot of pressure. So we're still a little bit nervous about that. But yeah, generally, I think that's great news. And in fact, the market reacted quite positively last week. And even the Rand was a bit stronger, despite a shock to the retail companies reporting. Shocking results again last week.
Uh-huh.
We had the main ones were probably Massmart, ShopRite, AVI. Mm. And they're slightly different because they're all in different categories. So Massmart is its earnings per share is highly leveraged because it's low margin business, high volume business. Any change in the economy is felt quite significantly, or any decline in their sales is felt significantly. Massmart share was down 21% in one day when it put out its trading statement.
All right, so this is always
week.
Where if something drops by 21%, it either represents an opportunity to buy, as some people might have
or
it.
Or don't catch a falling knife.
Or, yeah, stay the hell out of the way. And if you've got anything, offload quickly.
So I think it will depend on exactly where the problem is. You know, so Massmart said that Black Friday sales weren't too bad, but this was a problem with the consumer. And if you think the consumer is going to turn around and start spending, then I would be buying Massmart shares, actually.
But that's probably not going to happen.
Well, CPI is now lower. The rand's a bit stronger. Is it going to happen? I don't think...
Not in the first quarter.
No, that's true. You know, there's no reason for us to go out shopping. It's not like we're getting Christmas bonuses. It's not like we're feeling richer. In fact, I think everyone really is feeling poorer. In general, it just feels like wage increases haven't kept up. The petrol price has been difficult. We got a VAT increase last year. We got an interest rate hike last year. We're definitely poorer, even if you're not feeling it, I think, actually, on average. There's no reason for the consumer to go out shopping. So, unfortunately, you know, maybe stay away from Massmart a bit longer, but it's a good company. It does, supply to the right side of the market. So if there is a turnaround, this is highly leveraged to a turnaround. So I would watch it. Any sign of a turnaround, buy Massmart shares, basically.
ShopRite.
Yes, because that's the other one retailers. I mentioned. Sorry. Yeah. So ShopRite also put out a trading statement last week. The share was down almost 6% post this release. Group headline earnings per share came in below expectations again. And again, this was largely due to a poorer performing South African consumer. So the other African markets performed fine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, South Africa was the problem. And then, you know, even AVI, so they do luxury brands, a terrible set of results. And the one thing about AVI we've always known is that they've got really good management and they're in a relatively resilient consumer sector, you know, the higher LSM. And even that couldn't save them. So I think things are very difficult in South Africa.
What's AVI all about? Just remind me.
So they have luxury brands. I forget what the brand is called. I can see the shop. It's a kind of high-end fashion retailer.
Oh, okay.
I've just forgotten the name now.
Maybe CNO's. CNO's all the high-end fashion.
Oh, does he?
The Googler is helping me out.
Oh, yes, go Google.
All right, well, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just talk about Vodacom quickly, because they reported.
Yeah.
Vodacom really, I don't know whether management in Vodacom are even awake.
Yeah. So already they're in a difficult
sector. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
Already they're in a difficult sector, right? So the mobile telecoms business, which is kind of, you know, this voice data nonsense is a sunset industry. Data, they have to do something about it. It's a problem. It's a real problem. And I mean, let's start at the beginning. So first of all, revenue was up 1.5% to 23 billion rand for the quarter.
So it's up.
But South Africa again performed poorly. And then they also said that they were worried about this charter coming out on the 1st of March where they have to get approval from, users when they go out of bundle, you know, to charge them more money. And that'll be a huge, negative impact on their revenue.
Yeah, because they just basically steal your money if they don't have to ask your permission.
That's right. Because if you go out of bundle, the data costs you ridiculous amounts.
And they just charge it. You don't get to say, oh, hang on, I didn't know I was out of bundle. Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
The
right.
And then you get the default is they just charge.
A higher charge. Oh. And then you get your bill at the end of the month.
So, I mean, basically they're cross because they're going to be stopped from stealing. But here's the problem, right? Vodacom has had a really good ride for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an incredible ride. They've done extremely well. They became the biggest and most powerful new telecoms business in South Africa. And management isn't important when things are going well. Of course, it helps to have good management. But really, really good management is necessary when things aren't going so well. That's when you need leadership. That's when you need people who are visionaries, who can steady the ship, who can think about and innovate in new areas and grow the business in places it hasn't been grown before. I've got to say, I don't think Shameel Joosub and his current crew are any good at any of this. I think that they are precisely the second or third generation of leaders that they seem to be. They're people who've just been in the organization a long time. They're not particularly visionary. They cave whenever there's political pressure. They seem desperate to try and find ways by either coercing customers or by complaining when customers assert their rights. It doesn't seem to me that this is a company on the up and up. I wouldn't want to invest with them.
And you're absolutely right, because they've got competition, right? So they've got all these lower data provider competition coming in.
Like Rain and these kinds of guys. And those are precisely the reasons and the times where you should be behind visionary
innovation,
management.
That's right.
Management who know what they're doing. These guys are not that. They're weak.
And then just to support your argument, you know, this disagreement they've got with the guy that started Please Call Me. They still haven't settled.
Yeah. Well, again, that just shows you've got a bunch of lingerers and people who've been hanging around Vodacom's head office for too long. Clean out, put in some fresh leadership. If you're on the board of Vodacom and you're listening to us now, you are responsible for what's going on at the moment. And if revenue's up, it's a miracle, because revenue's going to decline soon.
And even subscribership is up. How's that for a nice surprise?
Well, that's just because they're more people. That's got nothing to do with Vodacom being brilliant.
Right. And then shall we move on to another innovative tech company, Naspers?
Okay.
Because they got approval last week to list MultiChoice separately on the JSE, which will happen on the 27th of February.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO said the company is very proud to have built MultiChoice into a major success in inverted commas.
Uh-oh.
And that it is well placed for the future.
Yeah, sure.
I want to talk about something.
Well, let's just talk about the fact that, can I give you an opinion first?
Please,
and then we can talk about the facts. The fact is that this is an untested hypothesis, that MultiChoice can survive on its own without NASPAS money. We don't actually know that for a fact. We're not sure.
MultiChoice is a hugely cash generative business. So
okay, but compared to all the other things at Tencent, and in this case NASPAS, oh no, it's not really.
Okay.
And here's the opinion part. Has it worked for the people who bought those BEE shares some time ago?
No.
How's it turned out for them?
That has been the worst, because they declared this year that they were not paying a dividend. And the one thing about those BEE shares is that actually it was dividend rich. So you were on a, last year, 13% dividend yield. Suddenly this year, zero.
So if that's any indication, and it's a pretty good place to go and look, because there we had shares that were bought super cheap, that were given away almost, and people expected dividends, there's nothing.
It depends on when you bought it, but if you bought it now, yeah, for sure, you'd be getting no dividends. I want to talk about subscription sharing, because I discovered last week that if you're first of all, how many of you still have DSTV?
I do, and I think I know what you're going to say about the sharing, and we actually do that too.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is so interesting, because you can get up to 4 devices mm-hmm. on your one subscription.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can give it to your mother, wherever she is, your brother or sister, and then only pay one subscription.
So it's a loophole I don't think MultiChoice has already dealt with or seen coming. But yeah, on one account, and their logic is you pay for one account and you can watch it on your TV, your iPad, your phone on the go. But meanwhile, people are now just giving it to their friends. So I'm like one of 5.
But absolutely, because you can just put it on your iPad and AirPlay it if you have an Apple TV or whatever it is, right? So I believe a couple of people are now doing this. How bad is that for a business model?
Oopsie. Yeah. Well, we ain't complaining because it works for us.
Well, can MultiChoice survive as a separate listed entity, really?
I'm not sure.
If it wasn't part of NASPAS, it wouldn't have got this far. We know TV's not making money. Yeah. The only place that is sport. And even that, their revenues are tiny.
But that's the thing, right? It's people like my father who are addicted to his sport and retired, so there's nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. He has to have his DSTV subscription. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't need it for anything. So,
nope.
Yeah. So it's a problem.
It. Would you buy shares in this?
No.
Not a chance. Neither would I. Okay. All right.
I mean, the good thing for Naspers last week was that China came out and approved online gaming for Tencent. And really, this MultiChoice listing will give Naspers more money, more cash to invest in its kind of core business, if you like. So it really is doing what consumers or shareholders have been asking it to do for a while now, and that's to break up the company because, you know, there's a huge discount to their 10-cent holding. So the whole of Naspers is approximately, and I want to get this number right, $28 billion worth $28 billion less than just its holding in Tencent. Hmm. So there's a problem there, right? I mean, if you just add up the sum of the parts,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. So there we go. I mean, I think that, you know, the CEO was saying it's about consolidating technologies, harnessing artificial intelligence, blah, 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 taking full control of their classifieds business. So I think good for Naspers that they are kind of breaking it up into its different parts.
Okay.
And then lastly, I guess we must talk a little bit about Davos because all the global leaders are there and giving their opinion.
Go on.
And the general feeling is we're slowing. So global growth is slowing, but still growing. That's kind of the catchphrase. You know, even Christine Lagarde said, the bottom line is after 2 years of strong expansion, the world economy is growing more slowly. So it's just not growing at that great pace that it was previously. And on top of that, the risks are rising. And one of my favorite investors, Ray Dalio, points out that he's more worried about the next downturn because these risks are policy risks. And so it's not so much about the economy, but it's about politicians making stupid decisions. And that's going to be a big thing. And if you think about it like that, the world, we haven't really given the global economy much of a chance as you like. So kind of raising interest rates or lowering interest rates, the tools that you have to stimulate an economy are just not at where they should be. So if we do have a downturn too soon, you could see some problems. Hmm. I mean, so great that the U.S. government shutdown is now over this week. Thank you.
Right. That is good news.
Yeah. And in fact, Asian markets are already trading higher this morning, and I think you'll see a bounce on the JSE as well.
Wow.
But we're not in a position, we're not in a strong enough position from an economic policy making point of view to actually handle a recession. So I think the next one's going to be, it's going to be tough. Let's just hope it's not.
So what do these guys do at Davos? I mean, have you been?
No.
Do you know what happens there? Really?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the real deal?
So
What actually goes down?
I was out on Friday with somebody who has been to Davos, and he was telling me that it's really funny because everybody walks into the room and goes, do you know who I am? And then somebody else comes along and goes, but do you know who I am? Oh. And it's just a
big
whole lot of
decks.
PSDs. All going, I am so important, let me tell you what I think. And the networking. And, yeah, it's hilarious. Hmm. The only person apparently who hides away from it all, of course, is our very, very lovely Jack Ma, who apparently likes rock music and would prefer to go into one of the après ski bars and hide and listen to rock music.
And it makes me like him even more.
Yeah.
But his net worth was already enough for me to like him a lot.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks very much. Have a good week.
That is the Money Shot. Next week, we've got to reveal who the winner is in that Easy Equities trader competition.
That's right. Yes. This is the last 2 days or something. Three days.
I think you can still try if you want to try for 2 days. Why the hell not? You might just
pick a speculative stock and go for it.
There we go. Now, who knows? If you'd chosen Massmart, you would have been in big trouble, right?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. That would have been ugly. Any of the retailers, actually.
Any
generally
of the retailers,
speaking.
Yeah.
And thanks.
We were quite bullish on them in December, remember, but you did say.
Because we saw those retail numbers.
Yeah,
remember
sure.
when we saw 2.2% coming out before we even had Black Friday? We're going, who's spending the money and where's it going? Anyway, now we know it didn't work.
Well, if you want to know more, go to cliffcentral.com and you'll find the Money Shot page. You'll also find the Easy Equities competition and you can try. What the hell? You've got 2 days and then we'll reveal the big winner. On Monday next week. Stick around for that. Some news on the way and lots more. Here's Ariana.
Oh, this is my jam.
I knew it would be.
This is CliffCentral.com.